Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Welcome in to the Loretta McNary Live Radio Show. I'm so excited that you are here. And it has to be Tuesday. No, it's Thursday. I'm so used to Tuesday and Wednesday. The week is going so fast. Man, it's been awesome, though. Happy Thursday to everybody who's listening today. So excited about our show, as I've stated before. And, you know, I've become very much more health conscious and trying to get my exercise in and everything. And so our guest today is going to really do justice for that topic today. But I also want to say, do a little catch up on the events. Last night I was at the Canada Center and I got a chance to meet the incredible Ben Tankard. He performed and I got a chance to talk to him. And of course, I did the picture thing like a fan, but it was really a conversation about business and the show and what he's doing with his new reality show coming on. So just want to say kudos to Lamorne Owen College for putting on such an amazing event featuring Ben Tankard last night. So we're very, very happy about that. But as I was saying, our guest today is Chef Cordell, and I want to just get him on the line because 30 minutes goes so fast and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about him. But we can actually talk to him. So welcome to the show, Chef Cordell.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm absolutely marvelous. How are you?
Sister, I am fantastic, and I really do think it would be impossible for me to be any better than what I'm feeling right now.
Oh, my goodness, I'm loving that. That's a first on the show. I have not had a guest who felt that well. So great.
Well, it's the only way to be. It's the only way to be, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so you are a prime example of if you do all the right things of what can happen and how you benefit from those things. So everybody, for those who are just tuning in, I'm talking to celebrity chef Cordell, and he is so amazing. We'll share his story as we go deeper in the show, but the whole concept behind him being on here is we know that we have a huge problem not only in our own particular states, but definitely in the states. In the United States of America, we have a huge obesity problem. So that's what we're going to talk about today because we feel like with the right choices and the proper information, we can definitely eradicate that problem in our lifetime. So, Chef,
absolutely.
How did you get started? Let's kind of, you know, get your credentials and talk from there, and then we'll move forward to helping people become more healthy with healthy recipes and all that good stuff.
Okay, cool. Well, I've been cooking now for probably about 20 years. I'm in my mid-30s now, but my parents got my sister and I started at a really young age when it came to cooking, probably about 12 or 13 or so. And I was always, like, enamored by how they could take nothing and create wonderful things from it. Like, everything wasn't always great all the time, but most of the time everything turned out really, really well. And that that creative side kind of stuck with me. I think it was always in me, and they just helped to bring it out more and more. So I've had a deep love affair with cooking since the age of about 13 or so, and it's just stuck with me. So, I mean, I've been very fortunate with that. I actually, back when I was about 15 or so, I started selling cookies to my church and to my school, and that kind of got me in the mode of entrepreneurship as well. So, I mean, I was very, very fortunate to kind of get into that mode with cooking and putting together a business. And though it wasn't a booming business at that point, it did get me into the habit of, well, maybe this is something that you can actually do. So I've been doing it now on my own for about maybe 4.5, 5 years, and I've done a lot of different things in this business in that very short time. And I've learned a lot about myself and about my business since. So I'm very happy to be cooking, very, very happy with it, and I'll probably be doing that for quite some time. So
so tell me, how did you go from cooking cookies, baking cookies, actually, I guess would be the proper term,
yes.
a 15-year-old to becoming now a celebrity chef? Because that's huge, especially with, you know, your list of clientele that you already have.
Well, a lot of it was me being in the right place at the right time. I mean, I think everything comes the way it's supposed to, but I think the powers that be understood my my passion behind it, and because of that and because of the energy I put out there and my love for it, I've been placed in certain situations that have helped to develop me as a person, as a cook, and have been able to garner me some type of media attention as well. So I'm very, very fortunate for it. So, you know.
Okay, but there has to be something that sets you apart to get the media attention, because we know that there are many chefs out there, and sometimes people just want to be at a certain level, a mom-and-pop kind of chef, and then there are chefs who really want to have a celebrity clientele but have not been able to do that or even garner the attention of the media. So can you just tell me how you were able to do it?
that's
quite an accomplishment.
Well, I definitely appreciate that. I don't think there's a magic recipe per se. I think it just comes down to hard work. Hard work, opportunity, and knowing how to take advantage of the opportunity. But trust me, I mean, I've fallen on my butt a time or two and had to learn a couple of lessons behind it. So it has not been a rosy road all the way to this point. But, you know, just being open and keeping my eyes open to the lessons that are there. And after learning those lessons, not going back to repeat them again. But, I mean, it's been a lot of hard work. I've worked with a fantastic team over these 4.5 years, and they've really kind of helped me to propel the business to where it is now. So, I mean, we actually travel now between Chicago and Charlotte currently to do business for higher-end clients and then for other smaller things as well. So, I mean, I'm just very, very fortunate to be in the field that I'm in, to be able to do something that I love to do, which a lot of people, unfortunately, aren't in a position to. I'm very grateful to be in this position. So I wouldn't have it any other way.
Definitely. So, because when I do the show, it's always about inspiration and sharing, being very transparent and also encouraging other people to pursue whatever their purpose is and what they really enjoy and those dreams that they would start if they only, you know, had money, time, or energy to do it. So you can't really wait on that perfect time because it just does not exist. You've got to go for it. So at any time, because this is what I tell people when they want to come work for in media or for me, the best way to get into my industry as a new person is really to give away, to give first. So were there times where you had to cater for free ever?
Oh, boy. I would never forget. I'll never forget the first party I did, the very, very first party. It was for about 10 people. It was a breakfast on the south side of Chicago. And I didn't know anything about business. I just knew I wanted to cook. And I charged the lady $85 to feed 10 people breakfast. So, of course, I mean, I lost my butt on that one. But I felt good about it because I said, hey, well, other people other than my family actually like my food. So I had to quickly take a business 101 class from my father, Cordell McGarry, as well, who's an excellent resource as far as business goes. But I had to kind of tap into him and to some other people to really get the hang on how to conduct business. Because, I mean, it's one thing to have a passion about something and to have your heart into it, but business is business. And I had to learn that quickly. So, it's been a very interesting journey, to say the least. But, I mean, to break into this industry, I mean, lots of people now, people have been spoiled, I think, by the convenience of everything. When you see all the restaurants out, when you see all the cooks in the back of the kitchen cooking and you see all the advertisements on TV for, hey, you want to become a chef, just sign up here and we'll turn you into a world-class chef. and a lot of that is just marketing, like it's advertising to get people to sign up for school, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but the cooking industry is not for everybody. I can say in my own personal experience, I went to school with a good number of people, and I would say a good maybe 25% of them are left in the industry. And it's not bad on them. It's just a matter of it's a lot tougher than what people thought. Like, I know I had to start off as the dishwasher, just like a lot of other chefs and cooks who I know, they all started off as dishwashers. And they look at it. Some people look at it, I'm not washing any dishes. You're beneath that. I'm a cook. And it's like, well, the most important job to me in the kitchen is the dishwasher, because if the dishwasher doesn't wash the dishes or they don't come back clean, guess what? You don't have anything to put the food on. So to me, that's the most important thing. People get the glory behind being the one that cooks it or being the guy that, or the person rather, that runs the entire show. But it's a lot bigger than that. So, but it takes a lot of hard work. You got to be willing to go through the ups and downs of it if you really want to cut your teeth in this industry.
Definitely. What about studying other great chefs who come before you, whose shoulders you now stand on? Who are those that you watch the most closely that you take a lot of their wisdom and use it and, you know, of course, put your own spin on it? Who are some of your favorite chefs to watch?
Well, yeah, I mean, just with that, I mean, it's just like with any other issue, not just cooking, but just period. You have to know the history in order to be able to know who you are and where you want to go. So, and that's with people of all creeds, colors, across the board, any industry that you can think of. So I'm an avid reader. Patrick Clark, the late great Patrick Clark, was one of the first African-American chefs on TV back in the 80s. He was a huge inspiration to me. Julia Child, of course, she's fantastic. I like Rick Bayless a lot. I think that guy can really, really cook. The guy, Sing Maya, I believe is his name, the guy from Simply Mean, I really, really love his flavors as well. But I keep a good eye on pretty much the cooking shows and the chefs. Some of them are just fluff, and I do understand that as well. It's just for TV. But some of them, like that TV show Chopped, I love that TV show because you have a basket. They don't tell you what's in the basket, and you got 20 to 30 minutes to cook. So your creative juices really have to come out. So, I mean, that part I really, 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 really like. But, yeah, I mean, at some point we're definitely going to have a cooking show like of our own too, and aspire to reach those levels of the Chef Clarks, the Chef Julia Childs, the Rick Baylesses, and the other guys out there. Chef Alton Brown is one of my favorites. He's a geek, and I like him for being a geek because not only can he cook, he has a lot of the scientific information behind it that explains why things are the way that they are. So I really like him.
Awesome. I like that you say you're definitely looking at the possibilities of creating your own cooking show, because I really think with how easy it's so much more easier to do shows yourself now. You don't have to necessarily wait on a big network producer to do it. If you put together a really great show, you can get some TV time. So I commend you on that, and I look forward to seeing that. So tell me, have you always, even starting out, were you always into the healthy eating and healthy cooking aspect of being a chef?
Well, I've always been a relatively slender guy. So from that vantage point, yeah, I mean, I've always been into, for the most part, into healthy eating. I grew up on the south side of Chicago where there were not necessarily a gargantuan amount of healthy eating outlets. We had a lot of fast food in my neighborhood, and we were a middle class, well, almost a middle class neighborhood, but disproportionately in a lot of areas in Chicago, especially in the black and brown areas, more specifically, there aren't really any healthy food outlets. So I knew that if I kept eating these cheeseburgers and these gyros and these hot wings and, you know, this fried chicken every day, something was going to happen. I mean, it didn't take me long to figure out I'm a lot thinner than a lot of the people who are around me. And not that being thin is a sign of good health, but it
That's
is a sign
true.
Of not being overweight.
That's so true. I'm glad you made that point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's very true, but it is a sign of not being, like, overweight, though. So, I mean, which is one aspect of what healthy eating is. So just seeing the other people around me, and then asking people, like I've done several classes where I can ask a room of 20, how many people in your family have diabetes? I guarantee you at least 18 people will raise their hands, at least.
Wow.
So it's something that's always been in me. I have a few members of my family who are obese as well. So it's something that I never wanted to become. And looking at the neighborhood that I grew up in, I said, well, there has to be something that could be done to eradicate this. I mean, because if not, at some point, we're all going to die, and we're going to die very early death over something that we could actually control. And
definitely,
I mean,
we have some control over.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is, Loretta, is that the information is there. The information has always been there. A lot of people just don't think that they have the aptitude to do it. They think that it takes more money to do, that it takes more time. And really what it starts off with is you shifting your mind and you understanding that, hey, I can do this if I really want to do it. It's very feasible, but people have to recognize that it is possible. And then they have to have people in their corner to encourage them as well. That's a huge part of it, too, because if you're the only person out of a group of 10 people who are always in constant contact with each other, and you're the only one that's doing it, yeah, it's a little tougher. But if you can get half of that group to join you, it becomes a little bit easier. But that's where willpower comes in, too. So I'm not blaming the other people. But it definitely starts with a shift of your own mind, saying that I can do this, B, I want to do this, and C, how can I do it?
Absolutely. And at the very minimum, if those people in your circle are not going to participate, at least you should require them to respect that this is your new lifestyle change that you're implementing in your life. You're going to eat healthy. You're going to become educated on, you know, the food that you eat and your exercise regimen. So, because a lot of people are just not going to do it, you know, because it's much easier said than done.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
More often said than done. So when you're doing a catering event, and will you cook those things that are less healthy, or are most of your clients of the same mindset that you are, that we're only going to eat foods that are prepared and are healthy for us?
No, I'm sorry. You kind of broke up on that. I didn't hear the beginning of the
question. I was asking if you had a client who wanted some southern fried pork chops and some gravy, would you prepare that, or are you more into clients who want a grilled or broiled piece of lamb chop or something?
So,
I was trying to see what your clientele looks like.
No, that's funny that you asked that. That was going back to what I mentioned earlier about the my heart and my business. Listen, my heart always wants me to tell people to put the fried chicken down, put the fried pork chop down, and to do it in moderation. That's the key to me. At the same time, the business mind kicks in and it says, well, okay, can you do southern fried chicken well? Yes. Well, this is business, and if this is what your client wants you to do, that's what I do. So, I mean, I'm fortunate to be versed in several different things. At the same time, people hire me as a cook or as a chef, not always as somebody who's going to transform my life. And that's something I had to learn early on in business, because I did turn down clients in the beginning because it was against what I wanted to do. But in the end, everybody isn't there, and you kind of have to meet people where they are. And if you want to have any hope or semblance of getting them to where they need to be, you need to meet them where they are. But then at the same time, though, as I just mentioned, it takes them making that shift. So if they don't want to make the shift, I can disseminate information about healthy eating all day. If it's not in your mind to want to do better, it doesn't make a difference. You're still going to do what you want to do. So, I mean, and I think that's a problem I think a lot of people have when they go to the grocery store, too. On the other end, some people actually do want to do better, but they just don't know how. So when they go to the grocery store, after looking through things that they're trying to figure out, okay, what is this? How do I cook this? Then the frustration sets in, and they say, screw it. Well, let me just go with what I know. And that's the trap that people get caught into. So, there are myriad different ways to really go about tackling it, but you just have to want to do it. And that's the part that we come in, where we're going to do our best to educate you and make you aware on what you're putting into your body, how it can make a difference to you, if you have certain, like, ailments, what you can do with food to be able to change this. But food is really the medicine of the world. It's not what the pharmaceutical companies are putting out there. Food at one point was the medicine, and it should still be the medicine. However, now people have to deal with these drugs that have been clinically tested, quote-unquote, for 6 months, and whereas years ago they were tested for a year and a half or two plus. So now it's about big business and making money, so these drugs aren't being tested and vetted properly, so they have to recall them all the time. And it's amazing when you see how many people have become hooked on the convenience of everything. Well, I can eat everything I want to, but I can take this magic pill, and in 2 weeks, I'll be down 50 pounds.
Yeah, pharmaceuticals are the largest and and the most lucrative industry around today in the United States of America. They are, like, mm-hmm. number one when it comes to revenue. And like you said, people get addicted to it. And sometimes it's just in your mind. They're not really doing any more for you. You just take an extra pill that you don't need. Because if you still don't eat right and exercise, the weight is not going to stay off and come off like you want
exactly.
it to. So. But I can understand people being that desperate and that because they don't have the knowledge that they need to understand that if you just eat right and you eat the smaller meals, and it takes time to develop this. This doesn't happen overnight because not even for me did it happen overnight. But I'm more conscious than I was 5 years ago. And
sure.
Prior to, 10 years ago, I didn't even have the problem that I have now with the weight. So I'm having to as well, talk myself out of maybe don't do this time. And once you do it enough, it becomes a habit and it becomes much easier. So don't give up on it. Just hang in there. And if you have a bad day, I tell people, you know what, there's tomorrow. You do better tomorrow. So I wanted to ask your question because I always like education. And so I really don't know the answer to this question. Sometimes I pretend I do, but I don't. And this is also a question that was in the chat. What is the difference between a cook, a chef, and a sous chef? Because, you know, when we watch those shows, we hear those terms all the time, and I just don't know what's the difference.
Okay, well, in the end, we're all cooks, period. So
mm-hmm.
chefs are more titles than anything else. Some are earned, some you put on yourself. But most of that comes from the restaurant industry, and from the top down, in most restaurants generally of mid-size, you have an executive chef, maybe an executive sous chef, a sous chef, and then a cook, and that's from the top to the bottom. The executive chef is the guy that, or the person rather, that runs the entire show. So when from the admin end to pretty much the flow of the kitchen, if anything goes good or bad, it's on that person. If you need food to be ordered, or you're needing menus to be set, or recipes to be set, or profit and loss statements, that generally comes from the executive chef. The sous chef or the executive sous chef, who is right under the executive chef, is the person who runs the service generally. So, for instance, if the executive chef is not there or they set up the actual structure, which is pretty much what they do, the sous chef or the executive sous chef implements the actual structure. So, for instance, at a night service at your restaurant, the person that's calling out the orders to the cooks or making sure that the food is right when it comes out to the patron is either the executive chef or most of the time the executive or the sous chef. So they're the next in charge. Cooks and line cooks are pretty much a synonymous term. Those are people that actually cook the actual food for the patron. So the executive chef really doesn't do any cooking. They do more training and infrastructure. The sous chef does the implementation of that, and the cooks do the cooking.
Okay. Wow, that was such a great explanation and answer to that question. My next question to you, and this is so important to me because my friends and I, we debate this. I would rather have food that really looks good, the whole presentation, because when I do events, it's about the presentation to me. I want the food to taste good, but it doesn't have to be like slap your mama good if I got a new presentation. And And I see a lot of chefs who cook really well, but that presentation it just takes away from, you know, how delicious the food is to me. So how important is presentation to you as a chef?
Well, presentation is everything, especially in the restaurant industry. If I were to bring you out a plate of food that did not look good, you would be apprehensive about eating it, even if it tasted great. I mean, because people eat with their eyes on both ends as far as if you lay out 10 pounds of meat between three people and tell them it's free, they're going to do their best to eat up the meat until it's gone because we see it, that's what we want, that's what we're going to do. On the same end, I mean, it's very, very true, it's very, very true. On the other end as well, if a plate looks pretty or looks enticing, you're going to want to try it. And even if it's bad, it looked good to make you want to try it to figure out if it is bad like or not. If it doesn't look good, you're probably not going to try it period, or you've already going to set it into your mind, this is not going to be good. So when you do bite into it, you're already prejudging it and saying, oh, this is not going to be good. But presentation is key. It really, really is. Nobody wants to be served of anything that looks bad. I mean, no one wants that, period. So I think presentation is huge.
Okay.
But
so when you're preparing for your client,
definitely important as well.
Do you are there certain questions that you ask your client? Because I think, you know, some people just take any person as a client, and my best friend happens to be a chef here, and he does not do that. And I was like, you're just, like, throwing money away. He said, that's going to cost me way more money than they could pay me, because I can see now it's going to become an issue. So when you're do you choose your clients, or you'll take whoever's recommended and say, I guess my question is, are there clients that you would not take for whatever reason?
Yes, yes, and that's the business lesson I had to learn. As much as I hate to say it, and if any of my friends are listening now, forgive me, but you know I'm telling the truth. It's not always the best thing to do business with friends. It's not always the best
thing.
Now, I have one of my best friends. He works within my business. We've been working together for the past three, four years. He's excellent. But I've known him for 20-plus years, and we have an understanding that business is business, personal is personal. And everybody doesn't get that, though. And I think friends at times expect you to give them the hookup because you're their friend, and they don't respect the business. And it's okay. I mean, it's natural, but it's like this is a business.
It's one thing to get a hookup yourself and then expect your friends to get that same hookup. That's disrespectful, and you can't make
it is
in front of business like that. But I know people that do that too.
Yeah, I mean, and really, you really have to be able to vet your potential clients to a degree. There's certain things that you listen out for, certain things that you look for in a conversation with a person to figure out, and I could be wrong too, but there's certain things that I look for to figure out if this person is serious or not. And that really helped me vet this particular person. One thing I have found out, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but if there are any entrepreneurs listening, what I will say is this: the people that argue you up and down about a price are going to be the people who are going to be on your butt the most, and they're going to nitpick at you the absolute most.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me
exactly
a while to set it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very true. And if you're family, that makes it work. So, you know.
Right. And I know your ideal client would be somebody who, you know, understands the business, who has the money to pay for the items that they're ordering. But beyond that, what do you look for in a client when they come to you and they want you to cater an event?
Well, I look for them to be serious about whatever like it is, whether we're doing healthy fare or whether we're doing not as healthy fare. I'm looking for them to be serious about it because I take my business very seriously. I don't put myself into that box of people that play business or people who are just solely caterers. And there's nothing wrong with that, like at all, but I think the breadth or the depth of the skill set that I have goes beyond that. So I look for seriousness. I look for obviously the budget to be there as well, but I look for a desire of the person to really want what I have to offer. And I think what I have to offer is excellence in many different ways. So as long as you're serious about it and you're looking for some great, great food and some great information, I'll definitely be able to help you out as much as I can.
Oh, that is so awesome. So I want to make sure, because we only had like a minute left in the show, that I need to give your website, because I know people are going to want to contact you because I've heard nothing but awesome accolades about you as a person and also as a chef. You are awesome. We didn't get to talk about your clients, but they are definitely celebrities, and if you're able to cater for them, then I'm sure you will please any of the most savvy client out there. His website is www.chefcordell.com, and you can find him on Facebook as well. Please make sure you get in contact with him, and if you're in the Chicago area, wherever you are, because I'm sure he would travel, and you have to have a book for that. So, Cordell, thank you so much for being my guest, and I hope soon we'll get you to Memphis so we can do one of those healthy cooking shows prior to your getting your show together. And it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And thank everybody so much for listening to Loretta McNary Live. As always, think positive, dream big dreams, help someone along the way. And we'll talk to you very, very soon. Have an incredible day. Bye-bye.